It's a Michigan State. That's they put the. They're selling them. It's a store that sells memorabilia for the colleges and what have you, the Tigers and Pistons and stuff like that.
Wagon wheels down there to the Old Globe factory. Down there to get fiddle. No, way around the corner.
Okay, oh. Wait a minute. I'm the one on the corner of Center and Main. You always get those mixed up. The hotel. Where the bar was. Across from
the spring?
No, it's right in town.
Oh.
You know, by the bowling alley. It's not the wagon wheel, it's not the wishing well, it's not. Well, anyway, it's across from where the barbershop was, where Bloom's agency is.
Oh, John the Greek's bar. John the Greek's?
Where they have the hotel.
Yeah.
And all the rooms.
Yeah.
Mrs. McLaughlin's here.
Hey!
Her son and our son went to school together.
Oh, wow.
So I know about the computer up in the back room up there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what I was saying, the winner's circle, that's where Perrin's is, so probably it's not the same family. Perrin.
Yeah.
It's the same spelling.
Well, Perrin's built that building. Ed Perrin.
Built the winner's circle?
Built him. Tiny Bradshaw. I ran the pool room.
Yep.
And John the Greek had a restaurant on the other side. And then they...
Tiny Bradshaw was there over in Ann Arbor.
It's Atlanta.
Well, I guess that is it, see there.
Oh, Ann Arbor. Yeah.
There in Lower Town there.
That's right.
Right where you come off of the...
And, what are we going to tell you? There was a slot machine there went haywire. Shake. And he found out about it first. And boy, you put in a quarter and out would come $5. That went on. Boy, hell, it must have been $50, $75. Every time you put in a quarter, out would come money.
So you had gambling in Northville just like other places did.
Slot machines.
That wasn't a slot machine, I don't think. A pinball machine of some kind. Oh, no, there was never any gambling in Marshall. Oh, I shouldn't think of such a thing. Did you belong to the 1-2-3 club?
No.
You never got into that?
No.
Oh, you were gone then, I think, anyway.
Was I? That one up over Harold's up in there?
Yeah. I know I took Joel Denton up there one day. The guy up there for had a heart attack.
Well, I never was a card player or any of that.
I never played any cards. I remember the time my dad and Con Langfield was playing gin rummy for $10 a point. Gee, great. Harold told me about that. That gets pretty expensive game.
Yes, it would.
So you knew Joe Denton?
Oh, everybody in the world knew Joe Denton.
Our daughter married Carl Stevens, the young Carl.
Uh-huh. That right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we did get to know Joe before he passed away.
Very good friend of mine. He was sales manager for Motorola. Got to know Joe Denton and he'd stop in there. Drove in the driveway, car started backing down there, and he tried to get into it, and that's when he was killed.
That was who?
I'm trying to think.
Okay. I can't think of it either, but that was horrible.
Oh, yes.
But that was a steep driveway.
Yes, it was.
Joe used to go around, what, Friday night or Saturday and pick up all the people who might get in trouble, put them in the clink so that they'd stay out of trouble.
Oh, sure. I had a Springer Spaniel. He went on the assumption, bite first and then negotiate afterwards. Now, that's when Clancy and Yolinda were just little. Hell, we had to knock hell out of the dog before we could even touch them up. We couldn't get any mail delivered, no garbage picked up, no milk delivered. That damn Springer. If the kids weren't there, you carted the whole house away. When the kids were home, and I never realized that those dogs would get ugly like that. But anyway, some folks right over here back. She was walking her dog down the street with a baby buggy, with a baby in it, and my dog saw this, her dog. Well, I grabbed a board and started getting over there, flailing dogs. And I don't know if you ever seen a dog fight or not, but they fight. She's trying to grab her dog, and I said, "Right, dog, get near those dogs." And she'd say, "Now don't hit my dog." Well, I was just hitting. And finally, got the dog separated somewhere. Then she went home. She called up and said, "Your dog bit me." And I said, "Are you sure it's my dog?" Well, yeah, because her dog wouldn't bite her. Well, so I said, "Well, I got to look at it." And she said, "No, you can't. Where I'm bit, you can't see." So I sent Doc Edson to go over, and if he was bit, I'd go pay for it. Well, they wouldn't even allow him to do anything. So I figured I was free and clear. They got a peace bond on me. Do you know what a peace bond is? They're an awful thing. And if my dog ever did anything or anything, they served this peace bond on me. Up come Joe Denton one night. We're having supper. He said, "Well, I got to take you to jail." I said, "Can I wait till I eat?" "Yeah." And he said, "You better have your lawyer there, because," he said, "you're going to have to go to jail." So I call up Cliff Hill, and he was there before I was, so I never did get in jail. And I don't know just how that turned out, but...
Where was the jail?
Probably about where it is now. No.
The old fire hall.
Oh, the old fire hall. And, first the courthouse was in the big building there, wasn't it?
Lapins.
Yeah.
That's right.
Do you remember that?
Fred was telling me.
And we could prove that, hell, our dog was, Harry Rackham had a dog just exactly like it. Only his wasn't ugly. We swore him down that it was that dog that they saw instead of ours. But, all right, Joe Denton.
Those kids of his could make anything of me.
Those two girls.
Yeah.
You mean Harry Rackham's?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless her soul. One of them wasn't too bad. But, it's Harry Rackham we're talking about. He was kinfolks of the Rackham Golf Links, and up till that time, hell, he never made a dime.
No.
He just kept one step ahead of, the only reason I'm saying that is because they're all dead and gone, so. And he married Hattie Pagel. You know Hattie?
No.
No, probably not. And so here he come in with about $150,000 to $175,000, more money than he ever dreamed of. And I know they're making book all over town that how long it's going to take Harry to
go through it.
Well, he wound up a millionaire. Sure did.
How?
Very shrewdly investing it.
Investing mortgages.
At six, I don't know if he ever got over 6% interest. But, no, he did very, very well. You know, that old guy? Oh, through the war, when they had stamps. Oil stamps. He came in, opened up that door, and my dad had all the stamps laid out on the counter, and the wind was blowing, and oh, geez, they just went. Psh. My dad wasn't too enthused about the whole deal, anything.
Was those receipt stamps, probably?
Oil stamps. I don't know what the hell they call them.
Okay.
You had to take stamps.
Ration stamps.
Yeah. This Mr. Rackham says, Carl, would you like to have me take care of that? My dad said, hell yes. Nothing was said how much you're going to pay him. And he worked there all through the war. That'd be 4 years. Boy, we didn't have any problem at all. Everything went just like clockwork. War's over. We don't know just what to do. Harry called my dad from down in Detroit someplace. Said, Carl, get rid of everything. Get them burnt just as fast as you can. My dad said, are you sure? Yeah. Get those out in the furnace. Burn them. Because here's all the records for 4 years. Out they went. Nothing ever happened. So I said, Dad, how much are you going to pay Mr. Rackham? Well, he said, I don't know. Nothing was ever said about pay. Well, he was going to Detroit at least once a week. He's doing something for the stamp business. He'd come there to the office. Drivers would turn in stamps, you know, and they all had to be pasted under books. Oh, it was a mess. So we're all done. Dad says, Harry, what do I owe you? Well, he said, it's been most interesting. He said, you know, I've acquired a taste for 7 grams. How about a 7:15 crumb, for heaven's sakes? My dad said to me, he said, get up to Charlie's and get a case of 7:15. Which was what, $75, $80?
It could have been over that. If it was that much.
Wasn't bad. That was pretty cheap paid.
Yeah.
I bet those stamps were a pain. I know just having to, you know, cash them in for food and all that was bad.
Yeah. Geez, I don't need this thing anymore.
You calm down a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I use it half the night.
Do you?
Medicare piece for that.
Fine, fine. That's why you have the insurance.
Yep.
You know that I say Medicare for Social Security is the biggest cause of inflation there is. I've drawn so much more money than I ever paid in. Shameful.
Now, has Mr. Ammerman always lived across the way from you?
I think he has, hasn't he?
Never lived there when I was around.
Sure. I think he rented that place for 50 years. He's principal.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, see, we moved out to the lake there in the 30s. That's over 50.
Yes, it is. You should go talk with Liza Wagner.
Somebody is going to. Yeah, somebody.
Yeah.
Do you remember May Babbitt when you were in school?
Sure, we lived right across the road from her. Doc Holcomb's sister.
Uh-huh. You remember any of your other school teachers?
Mrs. Cook.
Oh, I did Barley Cook.
Mrs. Larkins.
Yeah, Mrs. Larkins.
I'll never forget the time Mrs. Larkins, I sat right underneath the clock.
Yeah.
She said, everybody, right underneath the clock there, I want to see you right after school. Mm-hmm. So the bell rang and I got up and walked out. Next day she said, Charlie, I distinctly remember saying everybody underneath the clock I wanted to see after school. Mrs. Larkins, I said, I thought you meant everybody but me.
Oh, dear. Did you play on a baseball team or football team when you were in high school?
Oh, because I was playing the saxophone, and it was easier to play saxophone than it was to get knocked the hell out of playing football. I was the only one who could read music when they started the band.
That right.
How many were in the band?
That first year?
Mm-hmm.
15, 20, I guess. And I always thought that brought on, I was taking lessons at the same time. I'm about 18 years old. And I'd noticed A&P opened stores that summer. They gave the Northfield school system $200 to play out in the street in front of their stores. And I got Of course, I was working, so I had to lay off, and somebody else had to, and I wouldn't get paid. Well, geez, I wanted to, it was fun playing in the band, but I was getting $5 a day then, so I didn't think much of losing $5 just to play in the goddamn band. So they'd give me $10 to deliver the drum, and I could take my car, take my girlfriend in the car, and I didn't get $10 for playing in the band, but I got $10 for delivering the drum. And then we played at the fair. About 5 days, from 9 o'clock in the morning till midnight, and of course, if I quit playing, so the rest of the band, they was always listening to me. I didn't realize that for a long time. So old man Head, I'd see him, and I often thought that that's what caused the trouble, because it wasn't long before I couldn't play over an hour, and the wind wouldn't go where it was supposed to, come out my nose. I'd rest a little while and then could play another hour. And it got where, hell, it was down there for 15, 20 minutes. And it happened while I was taking a lesson one time, and he said, "There's no use you coming back here."
Now, he led the band. Did he write any music that you know of?
Neil Head?
Uh-huh.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
But boy, oh boy. And he was an old brass man. He looked down his nose at that goddamn saxophone. He didn't think much
of it. Did he play alto or C-melody?
C-melody. And the oboe music.
Yeah.
But he had to put up with me, so I could read music. And it wasn't 6 weeks' time before, as a band, we were playing music with no sharps or flats or anything. And by the next summer, hell, we were Philadelphia Philharmonic.
Really?
Put you right down the wolf trap right now.
Yeah.
Then you have some pretty good memories back of growing up here in town, huh?
Oh, sure. Sure. Where were you always from?
Detroit. Born and raised. My dad, a printing company of 4th Street and the Boulevard, Wolf Incorporated. That one of my uncles owned Detroit Creamery.
Yeah.
Which, with the ice business, you might have been familiar with.
Detroit Creamery, was that Velvet Brand and Arctic?
I don't know.
Ice cream?
No, all I remember is the melt part. Well, all I know is, remember, is that they owned it. And they lived on Gros Isle. But those were the days when you started out in business and you worked, like you say, and you built your business.
Yep.
And you did it because you worked hard.
Yep.
And you made
it up by hard work.
No, I never. Murphy's been home to me.
You never left. It went off like Fred did. You stayed here and kept the home fires burning.
That's not a pun either.
Very good. So you're here just visiting for the summer, Dal?
No.
I live out here.
He owned all that property on the Highland Lakes. And that was the only lake in Wayne County.
Still is.
It's still
the only natural lake in Wayne County.
Do they know which one it is?
I don't know what they do or not.
Did you know that?
No.
It's the only natural lake in all of Wayne County.
Yep.
The Highland Lakes.
Used to be Curtis Lake. Used to be Silver Springs Lake.
Yeah.
Well, they tried to call it Yerkes Lake one time, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, did you know the Yerke boy that lived, down the street?
Yeah.
The collector?
Yeah.
Everybody knew him.
Yeah. He was my buddy. I had to drive him all over in the wintertime because he wouldn't drive his car in the wintertime.
And he'd come over to see Chappie and Betty.
Yeah.
And the only reason he walked because he knew he was going to get a drink. And, of course, he only had one drink. I don't remember having two. But he didn't want to be driving.
Yeah.
And have a drink.
He was an attorney.
Now, did he go to U of M, do you think?
Oh, sure.
Did he? Yeah, but he didn't finish up there.
He didn't?
No. He finished up down in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, no, I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and did any of the other Yerkes boys go to U of M?
Well,
Bob
Yerkes went to U of M.
Because our son was going through the Delta Upsilon Records, which is a fraternity there,
yeah.
And he found one of the Yerkes boys was a member of his fraternity.
Robert, yeah. I don't know whether Don went over there or not, did he?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
He must have went there, but Bob graduated as an attorney from there.
But Don, what did they just call him when they just went to school those days?
Literature, Science, and Arts.
I don't remember the Science and Arts, it was just Lit. Mm-hmm.
And then when you finished that, you went to law school.
Was that it?
I think you had to get your 4 years in and then your 3 years of law school, similar to medical school.
I don't know if Bob ever worked as an attorney, did he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His dad was an attorney with Yerkes, Sells, and Putnam down in Detroit.
And Yerkes, McClintock, Goddard, and Shreve.
Well, the last one that Bob was in was Yerkes, Sells, and Putnam.
Okay.
And Bob started to work in there, and he was, I'd say his morals were a little bit higher than the rest of them. He couldn't stand for the skullduggery. He was going, "Nah, that's no kidding, this is what Bob told me." He couldn't stand the skullduggery, so he got out of there.
You're kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he sure changed.
Yeah.
How many times was he married?
Five that I know of.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at three of them, I think. Done one of them. I married him to the last one.
Is that right?
Yeah. Dorothy.
Now, you know out there on Haggerty Road, he married their daughter, but the first one, Bill, he had something to do with Meadowbrook Country Club.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on the board or something.
Yeah. She died very suddenly.
Mary, Bob's wife.
Is that her name?
Yep.
if I don't remember that guy's name, it's going to keep me awake half the night.
Well, I'm trying to run it down, too.
Bill, William, because I know Mark and I were invited to their 50th wedding anniversary.
Was that right?
The old folks.
Yeah.
So I came to the door, and of course the lady didn't know me for $4 a week. I said, well, you ask Mrs. if she needs any ice, which I'm sure they don't. Well, I said, just ask her. She said, okay. And I heard somebody said, that's got to be Charlie Ely. What the hell is her name? God, they were nice old folks.
Yeah.
They come out every summer.
He was, to me, the epitome of a college professor.
As I look back, makes it just right.
Yeah.
How long has Meadowbrook been there? I should know, but I...
Golly, back in the 20s it started.
Was it? Uh-huh.
Very early 20s.
Yep.
Back now, see, Mother and Dad belonged to Plum Hollow, which is also very old.
Because we were living out on... across from Newburgh after it crosses 8 Mile. Alston. We were living out there, and when they were building that, the guy that was supposed to be the superintendent around there, he stayed at our place on the farm out there.
Oh.
He stayed there while they were building that place. And that was like 1920 around there, 1921, then 20 somewhere in there when they were doing that. Well, his name was Scotty Sutherland.
Well, aren't you sorry to see the farms going?
Oh, yeah, I am.
I mean, just driving 8 Mile must make you sick.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what amazes me? Where did these people live that are moving into those houses?
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what...
They're going up. Well, they're getting crowded out our way now. My golly, all the way out there just... building like crazy out there.
Now you're on Tower Row, mm-hmm. which was nothing for this farmland, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, are there any oil leases out along, gas along your way, or is that just along Napier Road?
You mean leases?
Well,
or gas to buy?
Well, isn't some of those backed up?
Well, not to us.
Not to you.
No, they don't come out that far to us.
He's south of 6 Mile Road.
Oh, okay.
I'm a mile north of Territorial and a mile east of Pontiac Trail on the corner of Brookville and Tower.
But you didn't always live there. You lived down on Halstead there for a while.
Yeah, well,
when you were growing up?
Yeah, back in the 20s.
How did you get into school? Did you go to school here?
I came into school here in the 7th grade, our 8th grade, our school, we went to the 7th grade, our country school.
Well, that was Farmington, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where'd you go, 9 Mile and Halston Road?
Yeah, Thayer School. Yeah.
Thayer.
Well, the first school I went to, we lived here, we lived on 6 Mile Road. Between Beck and Ridge, and went to the Thayer School up there at Napier in 6 Mile. That's the first school I went to. Then from there, went down to over here, and it's another Thayer School.
Yeah. Those buildings, to my knowledge, are still there.
The one out there is, I don't know about the 9 Mile one, but the Thayer School is a house now. I mean, people are living there. there were Mount Trashmore going up that corner out there.
What is Mount Trashmore? Blue Heron?
No.
No. What?
Don't you know where they're building the, out at 6 Mile and Napier, where they're building that big mountain out of trash out there?
Really what they're doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going up. Oh, it's huge. You should go out there and see it, and they're going to make a lot of money off of that. When it's done, they're negotiating now with gas companies. They're going to sell a lot of gas, the methane gas that comes
out of it.
Yeah. They're going to make a bundle off of that. That thing, that must be...
I haven't got that way.
It must be...
Ben Bourne. I don't know who owned that firm before Ben Bourne was there, but they were there for years and years.
Well, I live on Taft and 8, which is the old Taft.
Yeah.
Aaron Taft, I guess. Yeah.
Taft and Eight.
Yeah, where Dean Taft, his father, they had the gravel pit there.
Oh, sure.
There was a McDonald farm across the way, I believe, down the way from there a bit.
McDonald was just up 8 Mile Road. Hey, you know,
that guy was an eccentric attorney that used to
Whipple.
Whipple that used it right across the road.
That's when we was trying to figure out. He asked me, he said, you remember those sweet guys that got drunk and burned up in that fire? I said, sure. He said, who were they? Well,
Fred remembers that fire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I stirred things up when I got home.
Yeah.
This all happened, 60 years ago. And I knew two of them. I knew two of the fellows' names. You think I could find the third one? No. Sure, they all remembered the farm, the fire. It was happened right in the middle of the day. They got drunker than larks and did something. But finally, Bert Mosman.
Bert knew that.
Yep.
I'll be darned.
But you know, he tried to get Bull Ivan Sickle as one of them. I said, no, that he wasn't one. B.J. Thomas, Barney Roach, and Art Van Valkenburg. But he's outside of you and I and Bert Mosherman, I bet there are very many people that you can find out that know that.
No, I don't think so.
That Whipple had a hell of a good-looking daughter.
Yeah.
I forget what her name was.
Well, I think I'm going to have to...
Hey, when you...
Okay, let's turn this off. Do you know Mike Allen?
Yeah.
He's still working.
Yeah, I know he
is. And you're still working.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Mike's as old as I am.
I don't know how.
I don't think he is either.
Now, Betty, his wife, she was born in 1926.
Is that when Betty was born?
Because her dad bought that 1926 Pontiac so the nurse could take her out for a ride.
Is that right? Huh. I didn't know that.
I told her about it one day.
Yeah.
She said, I didn't know that.
No. Huh. Yeah.
Because I know somebody was kidding Mike the other day. Oh, somebody who was retired, who was quite young, probably in their 60s. And Mike said, I'm never going to retire. I'm still working.
Yeah.
And he goes in every day. So what do you do?
Well,
say you're still working.
See, I'm still working.
My son-in-law...
You're getting a check. I don't know you're still working.
My son-in-law owns and runs Northville Refrigeration, Heating, and Cooling.
Oh.
I got him that what I used to do. One of the things I used to do, and I got him started in it.
Well, have you done any repair work at the Presbyterian Church?
I haven't. Maybe, I mean, he's got several other mm-hmm. fellows. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether he's been there or not.
Where's the office?
At 18485 Ridge Road.
Oh, okay.
The only reason he works is Cliff just said, hey, Dave, can you possibly come in? I got a job just for you.
He can't get anybody else, let's put it that way.
Well, you don't work very hard, though.
Well, some days
I do. Him?
Yeah.
When he called this morning, I said, what the hell, aren't you going to work today? No, I said, I worked yesterday.
I worked the day before, too. I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, and by golly, it's pretty darn hot. Well, we have to get up on top of buildings. And
you're still doing that? Oh,
sure.
My word. You know Mr. Rutledge from Plymouth?
No.
No, okay. He's in the refrigeration.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to put a new air conditioning in at the wishing well here.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
Yeah, got that.
I don't think they have any air conditioning in there.
I don't know. Last time I was up there, I didn't remember. I was over to see Velma and Liza.
Poor Liza.
I feel sorry for Nellie, too.
Yeah.
But she's got a phone now. That helps a little bit. I always try to go see her on her birthday. She thought she was always good to... good. She's always
because
good.
Because I call up Liza and ask her. She said, what the hell do you want to know now?
Yeah. Marky still there, I wonder? Did you know Marky Bell? Mm-hmm. Oh, is Marky still there? He was there the last time I went to see. Marky and I, way back, well, before I was married, we were dating, we were going together on dates. So I've known Marky for a long time.
That was the largest settlement the Ford Motor Company ever made.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a dandy. Because he really got busted up.
That was, what, 40 years ago?
Something like that. He really got busted up.
What happened?
An employee of Ford Motor Company rear-ended him. And the executive, I could just visualize going down the road, absolutely impervious of everything in front of him. Comes a stoplight at Grand River and Novi Road, and he's clear out on cloud nine, and he just wambled.
Marky stopped, and he's really spooky. Hmm.
Well, did you know Alf Parmenter?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And of course, he's there
Alf,
now.
Yeah. Alf's there. And
Pearl goes over every day.
Yeah. Last time I was there, I got to see Leona, but she's gone now. Leona Parmalee?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was there last time I was
there. Florence Rubitsky, is she still there?
I don't know.
Well, Rose Carrington always had the front room. Now she's gone.
Yeah.
Mark, do you remember those old folks out there that lived out there on Hagerty Road? We'd take our furniture back and forth from Detroit up to Northville. We went to their 50th wedding anniversary.
Check. Well,
it'll come to me later.
I wouldn't remember them anyhow.
Well, someday we might send you with this letter, maybe get try to get together and...
Do you work Saturdays? I mean, it's sure for me to be off on a Saturday than because I never...
We can always make some kind of arrangement,
yeah.
No problem.
Okay. But I'm usually after 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just amazing that you're still up on the roof.
You can't see him drive a car. The only thing he twitched.
Well, back to the trip from Florida.
Yeah,
I know, that's where
we
are.
That.
Right.
Is that right, Mark?
Yeah.
So, well, okay, I'll